Hello, everybody. My name is Christian Arias, and I am very happy to serve as the Student Ministry Director here at Prince of Peace. My culture comes from a small country called El Salvador. Has anybody heard of El Salvador? We got a couple. Like Pastor Paul said, we got some work to do. Yeah, we got a couple. But in El Salvador, our services last like 3 hours. And the preach is like 45 to an hour and a half. So Pastor Paul was like, can you try to make it to 45 in an hour? Is anybody ready for a 45-minute sermon? I'm just kidding. I'm turning Lutheran, so it's going to be 15 to 20 minutes. No worries. I talked the start of my sermon for the last two services. I talked about my dad. And he's actually here for the third service, so hopefully I don't get too much in trouble. But I love you, Dad. Thank you for being here. Now, let me talk to you about my dad. My dad, I love him so much. He's been a pastor for 25 years here in Minnesota. thank you. And he was a pastor in El Salvador for 20 years, so he's been a pastor for 45 years. So, I don't know anything that is not the church. If you can describe me in one word, it's the church. Growing up, I was the pastor's kid, so I was the first one to arrive, and I was the last one to leave. You know, in a five and six-year-old, after a certain time that the services go on so long and more people want to talk to my dad, and I'm just like, I just want to go home and eat some Honey Nut Cheerios, like, you know. And it's just like, you learn to love the church. And my dad has a very specific way of calling out my name. So my name is Christian. He calls me Chris, but he doesn't do it like that. He does it in a very deep voice, and it haunts me to this day. He says, Chris. Why is this important? Like I said, growing up in the church, my friends, I spent all my time at church, so my friends were from church. So when I ran around, you know, the church, and we were having fun, when I heard the voice calling, Chris, that meant I was going to get in trouble. One day, one of my friends had the brilliant idea. The church had beautiful windows. He had the brilliant idea of grabbing a rock. You know where this is going, right? He grabbed the rock, and he's like, what happens if we throw rocks at the window? So he threw it, and you just heard a splatter. Psh! I wasn't really worried about the splatter. I was worried about what came next. I heard a voice calling, and he said, Chris. That meant I was going to get in trouble. That voice quickly changed. I was 7 years old, and the keyboard player didn't make it to church. He couldn't attend church because of work things. So who are we going to put to play the keyboard? You know, let's put the pastor's kid. He's always here. So I hear a voice, and he says, Chris. And then he's like, you have to learn the piano because we don't have a piano player. And I was 7 years old. The keyboard was so high. The stand was so high. I had to play the piano like this. And then I had to memorize the piano notes because I couldn't see them. The next thing you know, the drummer didn't show up one day, and I heard a voice calling, Chris. And my dad was like, go on the drums. Like, there's no one on the drums. Learn how to play the drums. So I learned how to play the drums. The youth minister was no longer part of our congregation. He had to leave our church. And you know what voice I heard? Chris. So I became the youth minister of our church, and it's been an absolute pleasure and joy to serve for many years in ministry. And now when I hear my dad's voice calling Chris, I know it's all been God's purpose in my life. Since I was a little kid growing up in church, my dad has always pushed me to do better. My dad has always pushed me to do more, and I'm very happy and proud that he's here listening to this sermon. But growing up, my dad had a full-time job, and he was also a pastor because the majority of people in our congregation were immigrants that came from Central America. So we didn't have a lot of money to sponsor the church. So he had to work a full-time job. And in that full-time job, he used all those resources to pay the rent of the church building we were renting. And I was And to this day, we didn't grow up in a lot of comfort in the early years of the church, but I saw the genuine love and care he had for the church. Now, in El Salvador, we speak Spanish. Can I show you a little bit of Spanish today? Is that okay? Can I teach you some Spanish? Okay. The passage we read was about the shepherd. Now, the direct translation in Spanish of a shepherd is pastor. Can you guys repeat after me, pastor? Pastor. Wow, I heard some people rolling their R's. That was really good, yeah? You guys did good. Pastor. And as you can tell, shepherd translates to pastor. Pastor is the same thing as what we call pastors. So in Spanish, there's no difference between a shepherd and a pastor. So when I saw the passage we read, when I grew up, I didn't think of shepherd because there's no word for shepherd. I thought of pastor. So when God calls David to be a shepherd, I thought God was calling David to be a pastor. And when I saw in my dad was love and care as a pastor. Now, the question always comes up, why did God call David to be a shepherd? Why did God call David to be a shepherd and not a warrior? Because in those times, the kings were warriors. They were battle tacticians that they fought in battle, and they oppressed their people, they ruled over their people, they subjugated. Kings were people that ruled over all of their people. And it's very interesting how people, the kings that of that time, were people of that looked like warriors. If you guys remember, the reason they picked Saul was because he was tall and handsome. You know, if I was back in the day, they would have picked me. I think my fiance is the only one that believes that, but at least I got one. So they picked Saul because he was tall and handsome, because he looked like a warrior, because he looked like he could knock some heads down, you know? And Samuel thought the same thing. When God tells Samuel to anoint the next king, he went one by one. And he was like, this one looks tall. This one's really good. It's this one. God was like, nope, it's not that one. Well, this one looks tall. He looks like a warrior. It's not this one. They kept going, going, going until David's dad said, well, I have one more, but he's just a shepherd. He's just taking care of the sheep. I don't think it's him. And that was the person that God had called. So why did God call a shepherd and not a warrior? The kings of that time, they ruled over their people. They oppressed their people. They ruled with dominance and violence. But you know what's the number one characteristic of a shepherd? The number one characteristic of a shepherd is love and care. God did not want a king to rule over their people, to oppress their people. God wanted a king to love and care for its people. Now, to understand what a shepherd is, we have to understand the sheep. Sheep are animals that don't know how to take care of themselves. They have no sense of guidance, so they just run into each other. They don't know where they're going. They just simply walk and follow the herd. And they're easily distracted, and when they get distracted, they easily get hurt, they get wounded, and they need a shepherd there to cure those wounds because the sheep can't do it by themselves, and they end up dying. Sheep have no sense of survivorship. Once they reach that mountain and they keep going up and up and up, they'll eventually die because they don't have a sense of survivorship. So the shepherd has to take care of them constantly. The sheep might make mistake after mistake after mistake, but the shepherd is always there to love and to care unconditionally. God wanted David to take care of his people. You know, the kings of that time, they went to battle to prove that they were warriors, that they could beat, and they were the best fighters. But David fought with lions and bears to protect his sheep. God wanted someone to protect its people that would go to war, not for his pride, but to go to war to protect his people with love and care. And David did that. Unfortunately, Kings came after David. And they did not understand this concept. They did not understand that God was looking for someone that doesn't oppress, that doesn't rule over, but to love and care. And we got kings that oppressed the Jewish people. We got kings that ruled over the Jewish people. And the cycle of oppression leads to more oppression. So what we got was oppression over oppression over oppression. And it ultimately ended in the Roman Empire oppressing and ruling over the Jewish people. Now the Jewish people, they wanted someone that would liberate them from the Romans. From the Romans had conquered Judea, and they wanted a warrior. They wanted someone that would go into battle and fight for them and rule over them with dominance, violence, and oppression. That's what they were expecting their Messiah to be. However, Jesus came, and he doesn't compare himself to a warrior. He doesn't come with violence or dominance. You know what Jesus compares himself to? He compares himself to the good shepherd. Jesus did not come to rule with dominance, with violence, with oppression. Jesus came to love and care. And he came for the broken. He came to the societal rejects of that time. The governing authorities, the religious leaders, they had people overlooked. They looked down upon a certain amount of people. The majority of people were looked down upon. Society had a lot of rejects. And you know, Jesus came for those rejects. Jesus came to love and guide. He didn't come for the bears and the lions that had it all put together and that had authority. No, no, no. Jesus came for the sheep that needed love, care, and guidance. Jesus came for the broken people. The people that really needed love and care. So when I understand this, I know something. That Jesus came for me. My family might come from a different country, from a different culture. And there might be people that don't even want my family or my culture in this country. But you know something? I know that Jesus came for me. And that's all that matters. If you've ever felt broken, if you've ever felt sad, alone, let me tell you, Jesus came for you. If you're still figuring things out, Jesus came for you. He didn't come for the people that had it all figured out. No, he came for the people that needed that love and that care. If you can take away something today, is that Jesus came for you, specifically for you, to love and care. No matter your ethnicity, no matter your race, no matter your sex, your gender, Jesus puts that all aside and he just comes for you to love and care. You might make mistakes time after time after time, but Jesus doesn't look at those mistakes. He came to love and care you. The sheep make mistake after mistake after mistake, and the shepherd is always going to be there to care and love them. And there's a characteristic that all sheep have, is that they can tell their shepherd's voice from afar away. I was actually looking at a video about this, and there was four people that were speaking, and the sheep did not turn. But when the sheep heard their shepherd's voice, they instantly turned because they recognized from afar their shepherd's voice. Just like I recognized my dad's Chris from wherever I was, the sheep recognized the shepherd's voice from afar. So if Jesus is our shepherd, and we are his sheep, you know how we recognize his voice? When we can love those around us, that is the shepherd's voice. When we can go and help the ones in need, that is our shepherd's voice. When there's someone that's feeling lonely, that's feeling sad, and we can be with him, that is the shepherd's voice. When we can help in Mission Outpost and help thousands of people who need food, that is our shepherd's voice. When we gathered in the sanctuary to feed thousands of children with Feed My Starving Children, that is the shepherd's voice. When we help out the Dominican Republic and a lot of kids that are over there, Special greeting to Pastor Jill. She's over there right now, actually. And she's listening to the shepherd's voice because she's helping out many kids in the Dominican Republic. When we know there's a need and we can help, when we know there's someone that needs that love and we can love, that is the shepherd's voice. The shepherd's voice doesn't come with thunder and lightning. Jesus is not going to come and tell you, oh, I come to give you a message. No, when there's someone in need, that is the shepherd calling you. So if you can take away something, love unconditionally, care unconditionally, because that is the shepherd's voice. Now there's many seniors that are graduating this year. They might go off to college far away. They might go to a different country. They might be far away from their homes, or they might be in their homes. Let me tell you something. The shepherd is gonna be calling you every single time there's someone that needs you. You might be in your dorm room and there's someone that doesn't have enough food. You might be in your dorm and there's someone that's just feeling sad and stressed. If you can be there for them, that is your shepherd calling. To all my seniors, a new stage in life is coming. But I'm going to tell you something. If you can take one thing away, is that the shepherd voice is always going to be there telling you to love and to care for those around you.